This is News Talk Radio 1450 KFIZ. Good morning, all dear friends in Christ, and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church radio ministry. A portion of our service has been recorded just for you.
Our first scripture reading this morning is from Genesis 12, 1 to 4. It's in the Old Testament on page 10, if you want to follow in the Pew Bible. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the ones who curse you I will curse, and in all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
Slash Barb. Our gospel lesson this morning comes from the gospel according to John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17, which you can find on pages 93 and 94 of the New Testament of the Pew Bibles. The way John's gospel is laid out is different from Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And this section about the visit of Nicodemus is a piece that sets the tone for most of the rest of the gospel, or at least the first half, because the wrestling that Nicodemus is having with what it means to be faithful to God is part of what John is inviting us to participate in, to examine our ways in which our tradition, our mindset may or may not be really something that helps us in the service of our relationship with Christ, and that putting the relationship with Christ ahead of all other things requires a commitment that can be very challenging inwardly. Nicodemus is a remarkable individual. He is a Pharisee. He is on the council, which is the Sanhedrin, which governs the city of Jerusalem. He is a teacher. He is somebody who is seen in very high esteem. Essentially, he is the success story. He's the image of what your mother hopes you'll become. And all of the people would be shocked to know that he has come to inquire of this teacher who is from the backwater country of Galilee, and who is held as a rabble-rouser among the religious leaders. And so this conversation is fascinating because it begins from Nicodemus's affirmation that he has seen the signs, that Jesus has a message that Nicodemus wants to hear more about. The other thing, which is the punchline or the end point of the whole story, is that Nicodemus throughout John, there are various references to his continued struggle. In the end, in John chapter 20, a mere 17 chapters away, Nicodemus and Joseph of Arimathea go to the trouble of gaining permission from Pilate to remove Jesus's body from the cross and to prepare it for burial and put it in the grave. And so in the end, Nicodemus truly does commit himself on a level that in some ways exceeds that of the disciples to Christ, even after he has been completely disavowed and humiliated by his death on a cross. So this is the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. John chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen. Yet you do not receive our testimony. If I had told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, and whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." May the Lord bless us and teach us through the gift of this word. Please join me in prayer. Almighty and loving God, open our hearts to your message of healing and peace. Enable us to see the gift of being reborn, of being empowered from above, of being transformed. Give us the longing to be able to move deeper and farther in our relationship with you. In the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen. Well, we started our Lenten journey on this path, heading out from a place of anxiousness and uncertainty, of unforgiveness and fear. And we have been slowly moving into a place of a longing. And that's what today is about longing to be someplace further, someplace deeper, someplace more meaningful, and how we go about that. And the thing which is very important about what we're looking at today is that we do not develop in our faith by the power of our own self-discipline. We do not become stronger in our faith by our own determination. We grow through relationship, a relationship with God. And it's a relationship that is not based upon law or upon expectations, and especially not based upon judgment, but it's a relationship based upon love. And teaching our hearts to not be afraid of love and to be open to God's direction is the challenge of this part of the journey. We'd like to be more in control because we have a sense that when we open things up to God, you never know what could happen. We see people and we don't understand their actions. Matter of fact, one of the things that's fascinating, Nicodemus, in some fashion, is the classic riches to rags story. And similar to St. Francis and similar to others of these individuals who behave in ways in which their priorities change and we don't understand. It doesn't make a lot of sense to us. But the significant part about it is that in this process, we come to know God more fully, and in that fullness, we come to live in the fullness of God's love. Where we're at is this point of realizing that we need to be transformed by God's power. The transformation does take place within us, but we're not really capable of managing it ourselves. There's a quote from Woody Allen years ago, in which he said, "I don't feel qualified to be able to give direction to my own life." And we seem to have much the same type of thing. When we actually get down to it, this whole being born from above, this element of what Jesus is teaching is that it's our best efforts that got us to where we're at now. What we need is something that comes from a power and a source wiser and greater than ourselves. In order to see clearly, in order to move forward, we need guidance. And that guidance does come from above. It comes from God. And God's eager to give it. We're just not necessarily quick to be open to receiving it. And this need is seen very graphically all around us. A large number of us are severely overscheduled. Our calendars are full of events, places, things to do, things to be accomplished. Our closets are full of stuff. It's an amazing thing. If you have a space in your home that is left unattended, all by itself, it will be crammed full in every place. Our activities, our concerns, our minds are pretty severely cluttered. We've got all of these things, and yet we're no happier with all of the things that we have crammed into them. We have no more joy, even with all of these elements. We need guidance, direction, and love. And in those things, we'll be able to experience renewal and experience God's grace in a new and powerful way. And Nicodemus is so much the image of that very thing happening. Here's Nicodemus, successful, wealthy, intelligent, faithful. He really is the goal, isn't he? He's where we want people to end up. And yet, his heart is obviously hungering for something because he's willing to risk the scandal that would take place if people knew that he was associating with Jesus at this time. So he comes by night. He comes in secret. The thing which is fascinating about this story is Jesus' loving playfulness with Nicodemus. It's always hard to know exactly how to get that across when describing and reading the passage, because Jesus picks at Nicodemus a little bit, but he does it in this very compassionate way. When he says, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you don't understand simple things like the wind blowing?" There is a playfulness and a loving element to the manner in which Jesus is saying this. And the thing which is fascinating is the conversation that takes place is written in such a way as to make very clear to us that this is one of many conversations that must have happened, that it took time for Nicodemus to come to an understanding and a relationship of grace, to accept what Jesus was teaching him, that all that he had worked for was short of really forming for him the relationship with God that he craved. And he needed something, and it needed to be powerful. It needed to come from above. And it is a wonderful gift in John's gospel that we do know that a mere 17 chapters later, it's obvious something has come to place. Something has come to fulfillment. When Nicodemus comes to Jesus and he says, "How can a man be born again?" Many people interpret this as that he's just not understanding intelligently. I personally think he does understand what Jesus is saying. He just doesn't see that he has the capability to do it. He doesn't see that he can change. He's too rooted. He has too much invested. He has a pattern that is too consistent. And he has been focused for all of the years of his life in the dedication of building the life he has. How can I change this? How can I let this go? How can I sacrifice what is so certain and sure to me now? And Jesus has two phrases. The first, he says, you cannot see the kingdom of God without the power of being born from above. And the second is, you cannot enter the kingdom of God without being born of the water and the Spirit. And it is by the grace of God's forgiveness in baptism and re-enlivening in the Holy Spirit. Both of these things, as Jesus is describing them, are not laws, they're not covenants, they're not requirements, they're relationships. They're relationships of God's grace. How can you be born from above? Well, stop fighting it, for one thing. Welcome what God may do, and allow yourself to see yourself as somebody whom God loves and blesses, rather than as somebody who is striving to accomplish things to make yourself acceptable. Let the grace of God become for you the understanding that God's love is for you all times, not something that you have to earn. And so Nicodemus has entered into this relationship of working to be open to being born from above. But this is the fascinating thing. It means we can't accomplish this by our own energy and efforts. We can't make it happen. What we have to do is place ourselves in the place where we experience God's renewal and God's love flowing through us. Simple first step. Just give up control. How hard can that be? For us to just let go of all of the things that we have worked so hard to organize and set and establish. Yeah, this is where we need the Spirit. It's in our Embracing the Uncertainty conversation on Wednesday night, we were talking about forgiveness. And one of the things that is such a powerful concept is that forgiveness is not something that we can accomplish on our own. That we don't have the capacity individually to forgive. The forgiveness has to come to us from God in order to give us the ability to do that. You know, we work so hard at it and then are surprised that we don't get anywhere. It's kind of like trying to levitate ourselves. You're not going to get very far off of the ground, no matter how much energy you put into it. But when it flows into us from above, it gives us the capacity to be free. It's just that challenge of letting go of the control and no longer deceiving ourselves into thinking that we know best about what will bring us happiness and joy. It's been our own best effort and our own self-discipline that got us to where we are now. And like Nicodemus, so many of us, our hearts hunger for something more, for something alive, something that is born of the Spirit of God. God invites us into this relationship, but our side of the relationship is to be open and to release control and to accept that we need God to show us what's really valuable, what's really significant, and how to walk in that life. But the thing is, God will do it. Our problem is that we are attached emotionally, particularly attached emotionally to things that are of very limited value, things that have ceased to serve us. I was in conversation with a woman who is describing to me this feud that has gone on in her family between siblings, and the whole family has managed to define itself around the feud. Your family events all have to take place around either the one sister or the other sister. And you kind of set up Christmas, Easter, all of the various things around which sister is going to be the one who is the focal point. And the thing was that the family member, who was another sister but not amongst them, had just come to the realization that for over a decade, they have been the center of attention for everybody in the family by their inability to be able to be in the same room together. And she first thought, well, that was clever. They ended up becoming the ones around whose plans we organized ourselves. They became the ones around whom everything was figured out. But then she also realized that was alienating, and the cost to everybody is too high. And so it's this sudden realization, this thing is too big of a burden for all of us to carry. This continued division costs too much for us to move forward. Where the born from above part comes in on this is that moment where we realize the thing needs to be dropped, but we don't necessarily know how to get it out of our hands. The thing needs to be left behind, but we don't know exactly how to part with it. And that's where we are in this stage of the journey. Not having the answers, not having the resolution. That's the thing about Lent. You still have some time. Where we need to be now is the realization that there are things that we've been lugging along that we don't need anymore. We never really did. And on top of that, it's time to let it go. Now, we know that we need from above the guidance to do this, because it's not within our own capability and it's not part of our own skill set to move it forward. All that God's doing and asking right now is just to recognize there's junk that needs to go. And the next step will come. God will begin the process. But there's a mystery within it, and we can acknowledge it. When Jesus said to Nicodemus, the wind blows where it will. Do you notice the wind? Do you perceive that it happens, even though you don't know where it started from and you don't know where it's going to end up? And the wind, the Holy Spirit, does this. If we'll let go of the control, we know the Holy Spirit is acting. We don't necessarily have to know how the Holy Spirit is going to act, and we don't necessarily have to know exactly what it's going to ask of us. We just need to be willing to say, I'm willing to let the Holy Spirit act where I can't. I'm willing to let God transform what I can't manage on my own. And I don't know exactly where it's going to take me, but I know that what it's going to do is going to be better and more whole and more joyful. And that I'm willing to experience. And this is what God is inviting us just to do. To offer that prayer of willingness. To take the time to allow God to show us both what's the unnecessary baggage. What are the things that have been holding us down or separating us or causing us to be able to be less joyful and less complete than what God has invited us to be, and to just open our hearts to God's process and God's movement taking place. Willingness is our challenge, because it is so hard for us to even envision that things could be different, let alone to offer to God a prayer of submission saying, I'm going to let you take charge of this. Especially when there's a particular relationship or circumstance or something that's been troubling for a long time, to just begin praying regularly, I'm giving this over to you. You tell me how to move forward. But I know it's by your energy and your effort it will take place. In that prayerful way, and especially in this season of Lent, we have the capability to see renewal begin to become a reality in our lives, to be free from burdens that we've carried for way too long, to be able to be lighter, more joyful, more fulfilled. In this Lenten journey, in this time, God's inviting us to know that it's God's great desire to open our hearts to new possibility, to healing. It's God's desire to provide for us the fullness of the life that God created for us in the first place. When Abram was invited to leave the life he had known, another riches to rags story, He was invited to act upon the sense of insufficiency in which he was living. He was invited to walk out of the manner in which his life was not big enough for his soul. He was invited to move forward and leave behind the things that had ceased to serve him and had become burdens to carry. And the thing which is fascinating about both Nicodemus and Abram, they made mistakes. They did things that were not helpful. They stumbled along the way. Heck, Abram even sold his wife. Not a good thing for family relationships. But God walked with him, because the whole point of from above is that it isn't by our intelligence, it's not by our strength, it's not by our self-discipline, it's not by our determination that these things take place. It is by God's love and grace that we are transformed. And that's something we can depend upon. We submit our hearts to God, and in that way we see the kingdom of God, and God can make within us a new life. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, we praise you for the gift of being born from above, and we pray that as we submit our hearts to you, you would be continuing to be the healing, transforming, renewing power that we need. Open us to the Spirit moving through our lives, to your wind blowing through our needs and your love, and let your peace dwell with us always. In the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior, we pray. Amen.
This has been the First Presbyterian Church radio ministry on Sunday morning. We invite you to listen each Sunday and to visit our church located at 1225 4th Street Road. Two Sunday morning opportunities to worship are being offered, one at 8 a.m. and one at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school for children and adults begins at 9:15 a.m. Thank you for listening. This is News Talk Radio 1450 KFIZ.